What's going on, everyone? Tanner Poppet here of Madrost and Poppet's Corner. Just wanted to remind you guys that our first record, Maleficent, is being reissued at NoLifeTomorrowRecords.com. That's right. Just type in the search bar and place your pre-orders now at NoLifeTomorrowRecords.com. That's right. What was it again? Oh, yeah. NoLifeTomorrowRecords.com. Now, let's check out the episode you actually came to see. What's going on, everyone? Welcome. Episode 104 of Poppet's Corner. And I'd like to please welcome in a local here that I'm extremely happy and excited to get a chance to talk to, Mr. Joey Engel of Abusement Park. Thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
I'm very happy to be here, to be back on your show. And I'm very excited about the release of the EP we did.
Absolutely, man.
All the hard work that comes along with the journey, right?
Absolutely, man. How you been, dude?
I've been doing great. Other than all the strange events we've had to go through, I just kind of took advantage of the time to really focus in on the music and really harness out all the aggression of the world that I was really disappointed and aggravated about. And instead of being like all these other people getting mad about stuff, I turned a negative and I turned it into a positive, and I hope everyone gets the same positive output out of this record that we're getting.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you got coming up, because I'm the only one who's kind of heard the pieces of music so yes. far. So for you specifically, you know, how are you feeling, you know, leading up to releasing this specific, what is it, an EP? You doing an EP this time? Yeah. So how are you feeling about it? Are you excited?
Really good about it. I mean, everyone really likes it. We're getting a lot of good feedback. One of the songs already, the single we released before it came out, it's already almost up to 500-600 views on YouTube, and you know, it's just been quite a fun experience. That's
right?
That's the only way I can describe it. You know, I mean, working with these guys has been, it's been more fun than it's been work. I mean, it's been a great experience, you know, especially now that we're working on our first full-length record, which is coming along really good, because now everyone gets to write it together instead of just, you know, like the first EP, me and Marcus already had everything already written, recorded, and then we found a lead guitar player to add leads, versus now everyone's just tight.
Is that how you've always recorded, though, or always? Yeah, is that how you've always like recorded when it comes to like other projects and whatnot, where you know, you do most of the writing and or you and somebody else does most of the writing and then everyone else comes in? It's not like a collaborative thing?
No, this is the first time with this release, because when me and Marcus decided that we wanted to, after doing the first song we wrote together, that we really wanted to release an EP. We didn't want to release a demo. We wanted to put a band together that we're like, you know what? Let's write these songs the way, well, I told Marcus, let's write the songs the way you already have them so we can speed that process up. And it was more of a rush of how fast we could get this out, how good we can get it to sound. I take that back. It wasn't much of a rush. We put a lot of time into it, but at the same time though, Marcus already had all the songs written, so it's like, you know what, let's get these done and then we're gonna find a lead guitar player and we'll add another song in, but we'll let them write that song, so it's just fair, just to learn all of our stuff and whatnot. And it's been great, man. I mean, everyone's been working extremely hard. You know, Hector's put in a lot of work, like a lot of work. I mean, what people don't know is before Hector joined us, he was in the Navy. So he was driving from the San Diego Naval Base all the way to Lake Forest, sometimes two, three times a week before he like started wanting to crash on like the couch and stuff like that. So, you know, he's put in so much work and heart and dedication. Same with Marcus and Shane and myself. I mean, it's really brought the best out of everyone.
You feel it's your strongest material yet for you personally as a singer?
For me, yeah. I think it's my strongest standpoint with the diversity of the influences that this band carries. I mean, and you know, like, and when I started doing this with Marcus, I said, hey, one thing I do not want to do is just be a straight death metal band again. I want to
again. When were you ever a straight death metal band?
Well, in other bands I've always played, and it's always been either death metal or blackened death metal or technical death metal.
Okay,
not in this particular project. I should have elaborated better. Or this band, it's not a project anymore. That I wanted to do something that could show everything that we all like and incorporate it into just an absolute monster and not limit ourselves with our abilities.
So do you feel like other bands that you've been in prior, most of them, I think it'd be unfair to say all, but most have kind of, you know, you've have limited your creativity in, is from what I'm hearing? Cause I feel like
some of them, mm-hmm. Definitely not transcend
right
the realm. They really pushed the writing boundaries of incorporating all of their influences into technical death metal. I mean, Tony and Christian are great. I mean, Tony's a really, really knowledgeable classical guitar player with a great bass playing ability. He's actually he's in Istanbul right now learning Middle Eastern style guitar. So,
okay.
You know, they really pushed their boundaries. This band is going for the same thing, but on a broader horizon. Like for instance, some of Marcus's favorite bands are Psilosis, Slayer, Devil Driver, Korn, In Flames, Periphery, The Faceless, All Shall Perish.
Okay.
Hector really loves Megadeth, Metallica, Pantera, Testament. As I Lay Dying is one of his all-time.
So is it just all? It's just all metal bands. Are there any? Do you like any? I'm assuming, you know, it's not the only style of music you guys like to listen to. Yeah. So, you know, for you personally, I've especially being like a more like brutal style of singing, mm-hmm. of a singer such as yourself, mm-hmm. you know, are there other style bands from other genres of music that you absolutely love?
Love Korn. I love
that's still metal.
Hatebreed. Other than metal, dude, I love Led Zeppelin. I love Rolling Stones. Rush, how can you not like Rush?
Okay.
Pink Floyd. Now, I've never really adapted any of those influences because singing was just never one of my strong points. I mean, in this band, Abusement Park, you will hear a lot of my favorite hardcore styles of like that clear hard agnostic front type yelling, mm-hmm. Hatebreed style stuff.
Okay, yeah, I mean, like...
It's definitely diversified, I can tell you that. It's not just straight all guttural. Like, there's a lot of heavy screaming, mid-range, and a lot of, obviously, my favorite style is the death metal gutturals.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just curious, because, like, as musicians, I personally love all styles of music. I've from the dawn of time, from the dawn of time, you know, meaning AKA 5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really into like jazz. I'm really into prog rock. really into funk, R&B.
Oh man.
When I mean R&B, I mean like Kool & the Gang. Yeah. Or like the Village People. I love that shit. Great. So
yeah. Oh, they're awesome. Our permanent bass player, Shane, that guy's got influences like, oh my God, like, he's so good. Same with Hector. I mean, I know Marcus likes a lot of other styles as well, not just metal.
Right, and where I'm going with this point is it's added more of a diverse kind of style within me as a musician. So I only could imagine, you know, for you guys, especially being, like I said, a more brutal kind of outfit, you know, what elements do you take from, say, other styles of music besides rock and metal, per se?
You know, on this new record, we're going to be experimenting a lot with some, wouldn't say psychedelic style rock, but along the lines of how like Rush or Led Zeppelin would work on some stuff. Not on the whole thing, but obviously it's going to really show its aggressive parts. But
and do you think where I'm going with this is, do you think that with incorporating, it's almost mandatory that you kind of have to incorporate other styles of music into your sound because it'll probably get stale for you as a musician. But I'm always curious too, when it comes to like a band that's like kind of one dimensional, as I'll call it, quote unquote, where they're say a crossover band, you know, they play just crossover hardcore or punk or crossover thrash or something like that. You know, I'm like, how do these guys have another creative outlet, you know, to incorporate other styles of music in? Like, as a musician, we feel cheated just only playing a one-dimensional style of music.
I will completely agree with you on that. That's one of the reasons why when I told Marcus, like, I really want to broaden our horizon with writing, with whatever feels good and sounds good to you that we can incorporate it, you know, and we've been all over it. I mean, it's been really fun.
And speaking of fun, you know, like what is it that I
it's Happy 420 that was rolled by my brother Antonio, who me and this guy, man, we've been friends since we were like 10 years old, man.
Okay.
And we're all, you know, we're 30. He's 36. I'm 37. So
there you go.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Happy 420. This joint goes out to all those who have influenced metal and took it to where it is today, especially for Lemmy from Motorhead, Dimebag Darrell, Cliff Burton, Chuck Schuldiner, Vinnie Paul. I mean, you got Neil Peart, so many great, great musicians.
Eddie Van Halen.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah, so many good names.
But I just feel it's important, and while we're having some fun here, I just wanted to say I think it's hugely important to have a little bit more colors on your palette for, you know, your musical palette, as I'll say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You just can't stay one dimensional you can't write the same record for,
but some bands can. Like, I've been on this like AC/DC kick for like a long time now, and I can't get enough of it, but they're one of the rare bands where it's like, it's just good old rock and roll. You know?
Angus is a genius, man.
Well, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
And Angus and Brian and Bon
that
Scott.
Whole
they're
band
all
together, man. They're amazing. You know, and you're right. There are some bands out there that can keep writing the same style over and over again. And one band I can really harness on who's done a great job doing it they will always be one of my favorites, is Lamb of God. I mean, even the new stuff they have with the new drummer, dude, it is so good. I mean, from when you go to when they first started to now, it's been an amazing journey for them.
Again, though, that's a band that has, you know, infuse multiple styles into their music, and especially in the drum department, because you can't be a, I've always said this, you can't be a drummer and only like one style of music. It's not going to work. You want a drummer where they like all styles of,
yeah,
all styles of music, because it only helps them out and it helps you out with how your writing style is. You can incorporate literally whatever you want into that style of music that you're playing, right? You're like, respectively, you're playing more of a brutal style metal, right?
Yeah.
So you can incorporate more elements within that style. That's the beauty part of death metal in general. I think death metal is always, hold on, excuse me. I think death metal has always had this underlying thing to it where you can do so much more than other forms of extreme music. Would you agree?
I agree. I definitely agree, especially now. Especially the last 12, 13 years, 15 years, bands really incorporating that technical style with the time signatures and incorporating flamenco guitar influences into the solos to all the instrumentals that bands are doing now, too.
Absolutely. And I think, like I said, it's just, I always felt it was an extremely important to have a wider range of music, just as a musician for myself, but I'm only speaking for me. Yeah. I was just always curious if how other bands that were, doing it like I said, like a one dimensional kind of style of music can do that for so long.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing at all, So. Just generally curious is all. So,
yeah.
But let's talk about your record.
Definitely.
And help promote it and whatnot. I'm walk me through the whole writing process for this one and how, how is this writing style kind of different or was it relatively the same as your previous kind of bands and records that you've have recorded so far?
So this one was very different than normal, because normally you have a band together, everyone sits down and writes songs, adds their pieces and then their input. Marcus has 5 albums worth of material. Like, literally, he has 5 albums worth of material with programmed drums and that he programs before we send those tracks off to a Gabe. So when we got together, we were talking, and like I said, after we got the first song done, it's like, you know what? Let's get 4 or 5 songs in. And then we're gonna start looking for a lead guitar player and a bass player.
And that was like the hardest moment for you to do. I know we had talked like a year ago, and you're still trying to find a bass player. So where are you at now with the whole lineup?
Sorry, I'm dying.
Have you found a solid lineup now?
We have a solid, hardworking lineup. I mean, our bass player, Shane, he's amazing. Really good. Pro equipment, pro attitude. Gets, when it's time to show up to jam, shows up to jam. If he wants to hang out, he's always fun to hang out with. He's really fast at writing. Adds a very diverse style to us with his intense bass playing skills. I mean, it's really mind-boggling just watching him play. You know, I mean, he plays one of these it's a five-string dingwall. That's what it is.
Okay.
And that bass just, I mean, I know an instrument is only as good as the musician who's playing it. Mm-hmm. But just watching him play that thing is just fucking mesmerizing, man. I mean, he is so good with everything he incorporates from loving metal, funk, and blues, man. His music abilities are like just top notch. I mean, it fits so well with Marcus and Hector that it's just great. I mean, it's so fun writing with Shane.
Interesting. So you guys, I what I'm hearing with this is that you have more of a symbiotic kind of relationship. The chemistry is literally one.
It is.
And how important is that for you personally on, because you have to sing over these songs. So with having the music, how important is that specific, having a one world kind of chemistry? How is it important? How important is it to you?
It is so extremely important because that's what judges the way the music's going to come out and how the product's going to be done at the end. I mean, everyone with this, everyone in this has had such positive input to bring the best out of everyone that it's worked in our favor. I mean, with Shane, freshly joining the band and learning everything as fast as he has to writing more stuff. I mean, I asked him if he wanted to come on the show.
Yeah, I'm bummed he wasn't here.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
But
it's all good.
He wanted to stay at home and learn the rest of a brand new song that we recorded in the studio. So, I mean, I can only
can't blame him for that.
Be thankful for having someone on the same page as well. Me, Marcus, and Shane, Hector have been really, really working. And along with Gabe too, man. I mean, Gabe, my God, that guy is, besides Gene Holgan, I think Gabe Seaver is one of the greatest drummers I think I've ever heard and watched play.
I would argue with Mark Rivas, but that's fine.
Both guys are amazing and incredibly talented at what they do, and they are both of those guys are the future of the new generation for influencing the new hottest best drummers out there in metal and any other. And we also can't forget about Aaron.
Oh yeah, Aaron Sir Connor's awesome too. Him and Mark Rivas went to high school together.
That's
funny, huh?
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's so funny.
So they're kind of cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's great, man.
I think Mark is more of the old school Aaron Sir Connor because Aaron seems like he likes more of the new bands, and Mark is like Mark likes, he's like me.
We're yeah, old oh, yeah. school, man. Yeah, he likes like the old classics.
Yeah.
The and classics.
There's nothing wrong with either or.
No, right? Dude, that's what created what we have now, man.
So can we go back a little bit, yeah, into like the mid-2000s to say the 10s or whatever, and talk a little bit about, from your recollection, the Orange County community, and where I'm talking is this, do you have any fond memories of, say, going to a local venue around here?
I do. I remember I got to watch Poison the Well and Hatebreed play at the Chain Reaction. And this is when the hardcore kids and the straight edge kids did not like the metalheads. Because the metalheads, man, we love the party, man. We love to have a good time. They're into their thing. We're into our thing. So now you have two bands that the hardcore and the straight edge kids both love, but all the Slayer and metalhead fans love Hatebreed. I mean, they love Hatebreed. So when we got into this show, the room was literally cut in half. You had you had the Karate Kids on one side. Like, literally, dude, it looked like Bloodsport almost, dude. And then on the other side, you had all the metalheads that were just ready, and you could feel the intensity in the room. And this was right when, I forget what Poison the Well album it was. I think it was the opposite of.
So what year are we talking?
We're talking like 2000.
Late 2000s? Early?
Like, yeah, like early 2000s. I was in.
So what, 2004, 2003?
I think 2003 is about this. 2003, 2002. I was just right out of it.
And for those of you who are listening and watching, you know, Chain Reaction is a venue in Anaheim, California. It's been there for a long time. It's legendary. It's more of a punk style venue, wouldn't you say? Dude, all ages venue.
To me, it's been like the everything venue. I mean, they've had everything from.
Well, we played with Exodus there. We played with DRI.
Yeah, they've had all kinds of legendary bands.
Exhumed. Played with, like,
yeah.
You know, I've seen Immolation there. I saw Dying Fetus there.
Dying Fetus at the Chain Reaction.
I saw the Jungle Rot there.
Ooh.
That was awesome. Yeah, anyway, my point is, so this is an important kind of staple in, you know, Orange County.
Oh, yeah. Our history.
Whether you disagree with some of their antics or agree with some of their antics, and
you know
they're still here though. That's
it is nice going to a venue from time to time where everyone's running around on a sugar high instead of everyone all sloppy drunk and they're barfing all over the mosh pit floor and you're slipping and sliding in it. But you know, I also do love those shows too, though. I mean, it's great.
I have no issues with Chain Reaction.
No, I have no issues.
I've played there many times.
I kind of like their policy just due to the fact that, hey, you know, you're a 14-year-old kid, your favorite metal band's gonna play, and they just happen to be playing at a venue down the street at your house that's all ages and open to everyone. Like it or not, that's fair, and that's what gets the word of the music out. Because without, let's just face it, without hardcore loving fans, dude, bands wouldn't be surviving.
But how important was it for you growing up to have an all-ages venue system?
It was extremely important. I mean, there were so many great times where, you know, you'd hear of like, oh, Cannibal Corpse is playing at the Key Club. Oh, it's 21 and over, blah, 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 blah. So you can't go. Oh, it's at the Galaxy. It's all ages. Awesome. Oh, it's that Chain Reaction. Awesome. You know, it was always good to have
something to look forward to as a young. Yeah,
I could do it, and especially Chain, man, because especially there was always a big straight edge hardcore scene that hung out there. Like it or not, they enjoy their shows, and Chain Reaction, that was the place. I mean, that was the place for all the hardcore shows and for all the kids to go out and have fun.
But it also made you who you are today as a musician, because it inspired you to when you saw these bands play, it inspired you. Where I was getting with this is, you know, that's one of the last all ages venues that is around Orange County in general and LA, because most of them are, you know, 21 and over. And I always stress this, and I know I sound like a broken record with these interviews, but I always found all ages venues to be one of the most important aspects to having good parents who actually like, you know, extreme music and support their kids.
Yeah.
But I always felt like having all ages venues is extremely important to music in general. Because it helps the next generation discover new bands like ourselves, get into the music, rather than having them wait till be 21 and seeing if they're still even into that specific style of music. Would you agree?
I completely agree. really do. I mean, Travis from, you know, not to get off topic, but Travis from Cattle Decapitation stresses it all the time. When they go on tour, they want to play a equal amount of all ages venues, just as many 21 and over. And if he had his choice, he would rather, Cattle Decapitation would rather have all ages, because now you're influencing that younger generation who saw you in a magazine and now they want to see you play live. You know, there should be more all ages. There absolutely should. More bars should be doing it too. You know, maybe have an all ages night or something. Have an outdoor venue.
Well, the problem with that is there's a lot of politics play into that specific thing that you're talking about. Like, the all ages
suck.
I know they do. They really do.
They suck.
It's one of the, yeah, but with where I'm going with this is a lot of them, you know, are incentivized to be more of a 21 over venue, or the risks to an all ages venue, you know, outweigh the pros.
Well, there's always a possibility that they could have the bar closed for an all ages night, or have a section of the venue where you got to be this certain age to hang out here.
But I don't know what the criteria is to have a venue like that. You know what I mean? What it constitutes.
I see what you're saying.
Do you know? I generally don't know. I'm generally curious, is all.
Yeah, I have no idea myself, but I don't.
But you would stress that it is important to you, or just as a young man growing up, getting into music and discovering a heavier style of music, which ultimately led you, obviously, to where you are today, you know?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
So I just can't stress
music,
it.
Music means the world to me. Back to the...
some of the history and stuff? Yeah.
Back to the record.
We'll get it back to it.
Okay.
We'll get back to it. We got tons of time. Right. I just wanted to reminisce a little bit and teach some of the people watching and listening some of our history is all.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely always
important. But we will get to the record, I promise.
But
you.
You know, that show with Poison the Well and Hatebreed, it literally brought two genres to stop disliking each other to start liking each other. It was pretty
unique.
Yes. Because at first everyone was yelling, "This is our show. You don't belong here." This and that. I mean, it was crazy. The first 15 minutes was straight war.
And you know why it sounds fake? Because it hasn't been like that in a while.
It hasn't been like that in over 17 years. Thanks. Thank God. Well, not really, but well, you know, it's good that
so
everything kind of blended.
So do you, you know, go and growing up, who were some of like the local bands that you kind of were into?
Really into Bleeding Through, really into Throwdown. Was really, really into Exidium. Really into, there was a really good local band that was kind of Pantera-ish, a band called Chrome that would play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With a K?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, dude. They were awesome.
I got their CD at a Guitar Center. They were back when they put, remember the billboards in the Guitar Center, you can find musicians on and whatnot, yes. Ads. Yes.
Yeah,
and there's all their demos and stuff. Yeah, they were a good band, man. I remember awesome. The specific CD face on it.
Yeah. Very. There was Second Smile was really good. Gatekeeper, obviously, I was lucky enough to play with them. So many bands, man.
Any death metal bands? Yeah, I always like mentioning these guys. It was Gravehill. I always liked
Gravehill. Yes, I love Grave. Love
because they were like the old school style stuff, but they were still. It's still death metal. It's just a simpler form, and I love
it. Fate turns gray. Fate turns gray with Nick. That was always good. Exidium was good. What other good?
Anyway, there was a lot, but
Isolation of Infamy.
I love Isolation of Infamy. We got to tour with those guys.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Our first tour.
How can we forget about Sacrificial Slaughter?
Gutsaw. Gotta mention Gutsaw.
Again, you know, there was after Gatekeeper, there was Reciprocal.
Oh, right.
Reciprocal. Yeah. They had Jeff Hugo with them.
Here's where I'm going with this. I thought of it. Found it in my brain there.
Ah.
How fortunate are we, though, to have grown up with these people that we had seen back in the day, or maybe not even. Maybe we found out about them secondhand and then just started to discover their music. But how fortunate are you specifically? And I can say I am extremely grateful, but these people are our friends now.
It's incredibly humbling. I mean, I remember the first time I heard Voices of Ruin, and they were under the band name Oblivion. This was before I got into Transcend the Realm. This was still when I was in,
and they're all good guys.
Tormented.
ID.
Yeah. It was like, wow.
One of the songs? In the Shadows of Satan.
Yeah. In the Shadows of Satan. That was a good song. And
I remember that video from the Galaxy.
The Galaxy, yeah. Marty the Devil Man took that video. You remember crusty old Marty?
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, he was cool, man. I miss that. I miss that guy.
But it's just incredibly humbling to know. And you have to just, no matter how old we get, we still have to have the same mindset as we do. It still has to be humbling. Because I think once you lose that, you know, you become something else that's not you.
You start becoming a pain in the ass.
Not even that, but you start becoming not genuine anymore.
Yeah. You start getting all egotistical and stuff like that.
It's just really cool. You know, I get to have I specifically get to have people like yourself and Mike Abominator and all these.
Abominator, Mikey.
And you know, Matt Harvey. I get to have them all on this specific program. We get to talk about their history and metal in general and whatever else we want. So it's just incredibly humbling that these guys have become our comrades, our friends. So, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of being that for the next generation. And I just want there to be a next generation is all. So without All Ages Venues, see how I'm circling this back? With All Ages Venues, you don't have a generation.
You do not have a generation, and you are 100% right.
So when I've been interviewing bands of, you know, younger, you know, that are, I interviewed a band called Diabology, which highly recommend everybody go check out, but they're like the next generation.
Okay, I'll definitely check them out.
But they're like all under the age of 18.
Nice. And 19.
But so I asked them, I'm like, so is it incredibly difficult, you know, for you guys to find venues to play and to have your friends at and whatnot? So they answered with yes, because there's not as many All Ages Venues, but they also mentioned that they play more backyard shows. And I'm like,
I miss those shows, dude. You go and you plead with the neighbor not to call the cops and this and that.
I wonder if that still exists, but I'm glad that they proved me wrong in thinking that, you know, there wasn't a next generation, you know, there, but there actually is. And I'm like stoked.
Yeah. Oh yeah, metal's gonna live forever. It's never gonna go away. It's only gonna get more aggressive, and it's gonna get better. I mean, it's amazing right now with what bands are doing musically. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, God, it's just mind-boggling,
right?
At how far music's come in general, not just with metal, but music in general. It's been
amazing. It's been awesome, yeah. Man. All right, so let's go to your record.
Yes, sir.
I want to, dive into this thing before we get out of here.
Mouthful.
Is that, for you, what was the most challenging either line to sing or song to sing, or was it just all incredibly easy for you? And thinking of lyrics, what song was hardest for that one?
I'm not going to lie. It is super easy for me to write lyrics and just to get creative and hone in. And, like what I like doing is I like listening to the song 50 times before I start writing. So now I'm writing to the actual beats of the music instead of just jotting lyrics down and getting it to fit with the music. I want it to flow with the music. Recording this was probably one of the funnest experiences I've had, on the fact that I wasn't limited on what I was able to do.
But again, though, what song or line was kind of difficult for you to sing?
What was the hardest? So there's this part.
What song are we talking about? So people can check it out.
I'm going to tell you. There's a song called Psychotic Intentions. There's a part where I hold a scream for probably a good 14 seconds. And into that scream.
You're like Cryptopsy now.
Yeah, and into that scream, right at the end, I go from a guttural scream to a high yelling, screaming for God's mercy. And that got so hard to hit recording wise. Because you hold out the scream and now you gotta get your throat used to transferring from being guttural to opening to going high.
Yeah, it's always a challenge. I've always found lyric writing though to be so much more euphoric for me than singing it. Like, I always liked the process of doing the writing.
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't it?
I love it. I like watching all the dumb things people do. And I like going home and writing about it. I know, dude. I'm not joking. Like you'll see, like, if you, like, watch people park, drive, or even just shopping, you'll like see the people who are cool and like have like good manners. Then you'll see the ones who are like super like impatient or like really rude and ignorant. And then you're just like, you know what? You're good music material to write about. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. Like,
I don't think you're being mean at all, dude. Now, with this in mind, going to your process of recording, right? So you have all the lyrics written.
Yeah.
Are you jamming with the guys before going into track it, or is it strictly a?
So on this, Marcus would have everything recorded, and I would rehearse it by myself before I would record it. And then I would show it to him. I'd come over and I'd jam with him on it. And he either be like, I like this, I don't like this, I love this, can you change this, kind of a deal. And that was kind of how we, that was kind of how we did it. You know, we kind of gave both of ourselves the opportunity to write it the way that we really felt it would work best for us to be happy with before we started looking for other members.
Okay. So this is a different process. So the next process, now that you have all the members, you know, can you speculate how that process would change?
It got way.
No, how it would change, not how it.
How it would change. Well, it's changed because.
No, how it will change. Meaning.
How it will change.
So in the next process, can you only, you can speculate how that, that style of writing and recording will change now that you have all these other members, you know?
We're writing together more. Working together with it more and then rehearsing it together, getting the basis down of everything before we start even recording or doing anything.
Cool. So it's a different process, is my point.
It's been going really good too.
Good.
It's been going really good. I mean, you know, the two songs that we finished for the full length are way more intense than, they're way more intense and they're way more creative than what we have all already. Everything's creative that we have, but this just really steps above it.
I like it, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm very, very happy with the two songs.
So who did the artwork on this specific thing?
You know, we originally had Adam Meeks do the original logo for the single. Had to give the local legend some
That's awesome.
Dude, I love Adam.
I love Adam too.
I love Adam, man. Adam's been my friend forever, dude. You know, the first time I met him, I was like 17.
And how old is he? He must have been like
14.
14?
Yeah. Met him at the Pledge of Allegiance tour. And we didn't even know each other yet. That was right after the whole Twin Tower things. All the bands got together and toured in memory of like the Fallen. So it was Slipknot, System of a Down, Mudvayne, bunch of other bands. And I remember the first time I saw that guy, and but we were friends and we didn't know each other, but he's really easy to recognize, you know. You can recognize Adam. And about 12 years later, I run into the same guy again, and I ask him, I'm like, did you go to the Pledge of Allegiance tour? He's like, yeah. He's like, I had a general admission pal. I'm like, dude, I remember you. It was cool. It was cool. You know, he's a great guy. Then there's this guy in the Philippines who we contacted to, we wanted to change it up a little bit for the cover for the EP. And, you know, I don't know the guy's name, but his name on Facebook is Momo Maggot Art.
Okay.
And he did a great job. Like anything we asked for him to do, he did it. And he'd show us updates on, here's how it looks, do you like this, can I change this. And you know, he's super 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 good. And then, you know, we had to make another logo too that we haven't really released yet.
Okay, very nice. So we've the artwork's obviously been covered, and you know, you got the songs all prepared, you go into the studio and record it you guys yourselves.
Yeah.
And
Jake Galka was a really big help too.
Okay, so how did he play a part in this specific process for you?
So Marcus produced and mastered most of this. Well, all of it technically. And then we sent it to Jake for Jake to do the fine tuning. And Jake did an incredible job. Like he brought things out that we couldn't really here, because I mean, you know, it's different when you're writing it versus sending it to someone to really engineer the sound.
Okay. And is it always kind of frustrating for you personally, or is it exciting for you to kind of give your have to give up your stuff over to somebody else, but like are you always, and I always get this nervousness, I'm like, man, I hope he does a good job,
you know,
but I love it because at the end of the day it's like, oh man, my expectations were way blown, you know, beyond what I had.
I've always liked Jake's work, especially what he did with his band Siva.
Do you remember Amber Jean? Yeah, so they went to my high school, and Jake was their guitar player at the time.
Yeah. I really, really, really always enjoyed his work. So I knew once he was going to do the final touches to it that we were in great hands. There was no wasn't going to be anything to really be worried about. And you know, Marcus really knows the sound that he likes. I know what I like, and we all wanted a pro quality sound, and that's really what we're really aiming for, is making this music sound the best.
But it's easier to do that in 2021.
Very.
And with this in mind, so you find, you know, you're essentially our buddy. I mean, in essence, you know, when it comes to, I mean, he's roughly around the same age. He's been in the community for a long time, whether people know him or not. So but he also knows what kind of sound you guys are going to go for.
Yeah.
And so you have all these pieces together, and you know, what is next for you? It's all done. It's all mixed. It's all mastered.
Oh, it's out now. It's out on Spotify under Amusement Park. It's also available on iTunes. And it's available on Apple Music for people to purchase. And next, we're going to release it on Bandcamp.
Well, that's the next step. So, you know, lastly, where can people go find this, man?
You can find the EP on Spotify. Find it on iTunes. Find it on Apple Music. Find it on YouTube. And then you can follow us on Instagram under Amusement Park Band. And then you can find us on Facebook as well.
Well, right on. Well, dude, let's check some of it out or whatever. I want to thank you for coming on the show and hanging with
me. It's always great. I'd like to give a big shout out to my bandmates, Marcus, Shane, Hector, and real lucky to be able to work with Gabe. Extremely, extremely happy to work with him. And he's going to be back on the full length too. So we're really, really excited about that. And Marcus already has 4 or 5 songs already written for the full length that we're writing and getting dialed in before we send them off to Gabe and have him do his work.
And what is next for you, you know, in terms of, you know, more promotion for the EP? Are you doing actual physical media for this release?
Eventually we are. For right now, we're just doing the digital. We're going to see how that goes before we start doing the physical. Talking to a lot of different various people who have been doing this a little bit longer than I have. They're saying go with digital, the platforms and marketing, doing your own marketing and everything like that. It's just so much broader and easier to get your music out now. Now it would be cool to have it out at Amoeba Records. That'd be awesome.
And I know that they're back up and running. So yeah, that's good.
Yes. Yes. Right? Yes. To Amoeba Records. Happy for 20.
Absolutely. Well, for another episode of Papa's Corner, I want to thank you for coming on the show and hanging with me. It's we got to do this again sometime.
We need to share the stage together.
Absolutely.
Like we did.
Make sure you go check out Amusement Park. And I'll put a link in the description below, and let's sign off of here, man.
Hey, everyone. Happy 420. Stay safe.
We're out of here, guys. Peace. Cheers.